I am officially running for President of the United States.
Primary consultant is myself because I have a very good brain and I've said a lot of things.
When you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
I like China. You can win against China if you're smart.
So don't tell me about China. I know China.
China. I beat the people from China. What the hell is going on?
It's time for State of the States.
Yes, that's right. It's now time for State of the States. We are chatting with Nick Sawhney, our US correspondent from WNYU, the radio station at New York University. This week, we are chatting about what's been going on in Charlottesville, all of the craziness with white supremacy and Trump's crazy rhetoric around it. We are also speaking about the rising tensions with North Korea and the United States and what's been going down in Guam. The United States of America. It's been an eventful week, especially, so yes, Charlottesville. So since the white nationalist rally, there's been a lot of news developments. Saturday, Trump failed to single out white nationalists and neo-Nazis when he was condemning the hatred, but he has then since changed his tack. So what was the sort of response and what sort of went down?
Right, so not only were people outraged just at the events in Charlottesville, but the fact that Donald Trump did not immediately condemn specifically the white nationalist groups and instead made a statement that, you know, from all sides there's problems, people were very, very, very angry about it, including a lot of his advisors. He's had multiple advisors who were prominent business people leave his administration in whatever roles they were in, from like advisors to cabinet members. And Donald Trump has been very vocal about lashing out at them on Twitter. And, you know, people were very, very angry that it took, you know, 2 days of very, very intense public pressure for him to explicitly condemn the white nationalist groups in Charlottesville.
Sorry, what was with his mini side statement? I mean, was he trying to achieve some sort of empathy from the alt-right?
Yeah, I think he realizes that a lot of his supporters are from the alt-right. And I think he probably didn't want to explicitly be against them from the very beginning. You know, there were a lot of explicit responses, like on white nationalist websites and on their forums, where they specifically said, look, President Trump has not condemned us. He said that this is, he's by not criticizing us, he's given us his approval, and so we have support. And, you know, one of those forums got a lot of traction here. It was spread a lot on social media. People saw it. And that's kind of one of the reasons that he did probably change his mind. But, yeah, he was just playing politics, so he didn't criticize them until he realized that he's worse off by not criticizing them, and so he explicitly criticized the white nationalist groups.
So since he's singled them out, and yeah, the KKK, neo-Nazis, alt-right, how have they responded in response to that? They thought he was supporting them, but now he's said that he's not.
It's been really interesting because you would expect them to suddenly be against President Trump, but instead what we're seeing is the alt-right is blaming fake news and, like, news organizations.
Yeah.
I mean, air quotes around fake news. They're saying that, you know, the media is pressuring him to do these things and he doesn't actually believe it. And they're like, President Trump, don't let them tell you what to do. We know that you're on our side. And so there's, like, a kind of weird denial coming from them, because I think that just goes to show the importance of, like, immediately responding correctly to things like this happening. Because the fact that he waited and then, after intense public pressure, did criticize these groups makes those groups think that it was the media that pressured them and not because what they're doing is actually
absolutely right,
something bad.
So what other forms of backlash have we been experiencing here? We've had CEOs are resigning from the Manufacturing Council. So who's resigning here?
These are people that are, like, the CEO of Under Armour, for example, is a pretty big company. We've had Ken Frazier,
I think it was Walmart.
Yeah, and Ken Frazier, who's part of a pharmaceutical company, resigned from the Manufacturing Council.
I mean, what do these moves, what is this saying?
It's a lot of these people whose companies, you know, from a logical perspective, they joined because they're like, oh, I get to advise the president. But, like, a lot of stocks have been downgraded. Like, when the Under Armour CEO joined the Manufacturing Council, their stock of Under Armour went down, stuff like that. And so they've kind of been realizing this might be a bad business decision. And so after this severe amount of backlash, they're finally leaving. But also a lot of them are definitely uncomfortable with the way the president is handling a lot of these, like, a lot of these issues and kind of not responding accurately or adequately to these, like, racist movements. And so they don't want to be associated with that. You know, just like within Washington, Republicans are trying to distance themselves from Trump, business people, because, you know, Donald Trump talks about how he's a great businessman and how, like, a lot of his connections are in, you know, America's businesses. And so now these guys, just like Washington is, a lot of these prominent American business people are also trying to distance themselves from President Trump.
Do you think that there's the potential for any connections to be made here between policies of the Republican Party and the hateful rhetoric that's coming from the far right out of this weekend?
You know, in terms of specific policies, it's unlikely that people are going to blame one or two policies. However, it's not like these, you know, we've been seeing a lot of rising up and, like, you know, alt-right white nationalists recently, but it's not like these people have only just started appearing. They've been here for a very long time. Political, you know, just general political rhetoric and the political climate has made them probably rightfully feel, you know, like it's not safe for them to openly be, you know, racist and openly have these kind of, like, Nazi ideologies. Now that we have, you know, mostly Donald Trump, specifically his rhetoric, and in general this, like, culture of, oh, wait, if prominent politicians have these, like, kind of racist thoughts, I can too, and I can be vocal about it. And suddenly you have these people feeling comfortable openly, you know, doing things like we saw in Charlottesville. So, you know, it's not really a specific policy thing, though Republican policies do tend to target non-white, more economically lower class people. It's really about, like, the fact that Trump and others' rhetoric has really made these people feel safe coming out and being outwardly violent against minority groups. Yeah. And it's, like, about the political climate in general, I would say.
So yesterday, or last night, there was a statue pulled down of that was a monument to Confederate soldiers in North Carolina. Is this something that we're going to be expecting to see more of?
You know, interesting. I'm sure that we'll see more backlash against this, like, Confederate culture that a lot of America is still holding on to. I think that we're going to see more backlash probably from, like, you know, people who aren't the alt-right against these Confederate ideals in general, because it's definitely something that's, like, you know, the American Confederacy was sort of created as a response to people trying to create equality. But we're also seeing a lot of people, like a lot of Republicans, talking about how, oh, it's an important part of our history and you can't get rid of that. But it's a very kind of, you know, there's nothing else like it because the Confederates lost, and there's not any, it's strange that people are still holding on to it. But we're probably going to definitely see more people against, like, Confederate culture. We're seeing a lot of politicians on the left talking about how government buildings should not have, like, Confederate, like, statues of Confederate soldiers, like the one in Charlottesville had, or in, yeah, wherever it was pulled down. And that's probably something that we're going to see, but that's something that will really, really require bipartisan support. And at this point, since a lot of the Republicans' voter base still holds on to the Confederacy as, like, this glorious American past, it's going to be a long time before, like...
So, I mean, do you think this violence is going to escalate? Do you think this conflict is just going to get worse from here? Is there anything that can be done to sort of ease this conflict?
You know, had the president immediately responded and said, this is not something that we tolerate, you know, you can be, like, conservative, but that doesn't mean that you have any right to be racist, to speak out like this, and I do not support this, and I think that it's bad, and he said it immediately, then a lot of these groups would probably take a step back. But at the point at which the president took a while to respond, at the point at which they're blaming news outlets, and, you know, there have been consequences for people, but not enough that it's going to stop. We'd like it to stop, but it's going to take, you know, the president and Congress and just, like, the American government in general will have to respond way faster. And, you know, you see very interesting things such as, like, in the peaceful Black Lives Matter protests, we saw police with full riot gear standing around the protesters just in case anything happened. We did not see police in any kind of, like, similarly militarized capacity when there were these protests in Charlottesville, these white supremacist rallies in Charlottesville. There was nothing of the sort, even though these were more violent. And that's representative of, like, really a structural problem here where you know, there's the way the government responds to, like, protests from certain groups is different than the way they respond to protests from others. And, like, that Black Lives Matter example, I think, is, like, a really good indicator of the way that the government is treating the situation. And so we'll have to see, like, if something, like, you know, hopefully nothing like this happens again, but, you know, it's hard to believe that. And if something like this does happen again, it'll have to be met with, you know, both during the thing happening, which is up to, like, state and local governments, and immediately after, which is up to Donald Trump. We'll have to see people explicitly against these groups in a more powerful capacity, because Donald Trump did not deliver on, you know, keeping those groups in check.
Yeah, totally. And I saw Anthony Scaramucci appeared on the late show with Stephen Colbert, and he couldn't explain why there was a 48-hour lag in condemning the neo-Nazis, which is, well, I mean, you said before we haven't talked really since his fiasco. I mean, what sort of went down with him?
Oh man, so
why is he on Stephen Colbert now?
Well, so I think Stephen Colbert had reached out to him, I think, while he was still in Trump's administration. But then after he kind of had his immediate downfall, they still decided to keep him on because, you know, when someone is, he was only in the White House for 10 days. That was like a huge turnaround. And, you know, in that 10 days, his entire life kind of fell apart. Like, he got a divorce. He missed the birth of his child. He got fired from the White House. Like, he sold a lot of his businesses because he thought he would be in the White House for a longer time. And so people are very, I guess he was on Colbert because people are interested, and people like Stephen Colbert, and he would probably make something funny out of it. But yeah, he kind of just, he came on, and then he did a very controversial interview, I think with, like, the New Yorker, where he was very, very, you know, he used a lot of swear words and, like, very not politician-y, I guess, of him. And then, you know, in a big surprise move, like 10 days later, he was pushed out, and yeah, that's kind of it.
Why was he pushed out?
Well, because I think it might have just been bad timing, because, you know, because Spicer had to be removed because of, like, all the media attention he was getting. But then they were in the process of trying to totally change over the Trump administration, and Donald Trump's chief of staff, like John Kelly, was named a new chief of staff. And he was already planning on turning around a bunch of the staff there. Yeah, and Anthony Scaramucci, Anthony Scaramucci just ended up being one of those people.
Right.
So it just has to do with the fact that, you know, it was bad timing for everyone. But, you know, the fact that there was a new press director, new chief of staff, you know, everything's always kind of in flux here. Now all of his advisors are leaving. It's just kind of representative of an unstable administration. Mm.
Excuse me, I'm really rich.
That was State of the States.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
How stupid is this?
Ay, ay, ay.